It is fantastic to be back at camp. I'm just glad that even though we're technically not part of Lifelink family, we feel like we are. And we too have memories. And my memory is Paul getting up to speak one evening and being bombarded by marshmallows. And I still to this day don't know what that was about. I think it was led by a certain group of people over here. And the whole stage was bombarded by marshmallows. So that's one of my abiding memories. I think we're like your sort of weird great aunt and uncle who show up from time to time. And actually, the last 2 years, you've put us in this lovely cabin down by the river. I reckon, like, it's our equivalent of your, what do you call your man, Jesse Duplantis, getting a bigger jet? And last year, it was so beautiful. There wasn't really any comfortable seats on the deck there. So we pulled the armchairs out of the cabin. So people said that we were kind of lowering the tone of the neighbourhood. So we're back to lower the tone of the neighbourhood again. I'm so excited to be part of all that's happened this morning as you shared memories, because that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, about memories. I love sharing memories. I have very fond memories myself as a child of going on long journeys with my parents, and that was their time when they told us about our family's history and stories from our family. You know, ones that stick out in my mind is my dad, who's still alive, who's 90, still preaching. And he used to tell us stories about when I was born, the year I was born, he contracted tuberculosis in his spine. And he was in hospital for the first 18 months of my life. And he came from a very conservative church background. But one morning in hospital, he woke up and he felt like the Lord told him he was to get up out of that bed. And if he did, he would be completely healed. The doctors told him he could kill himself. But he did get out of bed and he was completely healed. And then he told us, which was also a lovely memory, when they got home, they had, you know, he'd been in hospital for 18 months, they had no money. And there was a conference that they wanted to go to, and he had holes in his shoes, and he didn't have enough money for the bus journey. And the Saturday morning of the conference, they woke up, there was an envelope through their letterbox with enough money to go out and quickly buy a pair of shoes, buy the bus tickets to get to the conference, and my mum always told us, and there was enough left over for fish and chips on the way home. So memories are really important. And I think what I want to say to you this morning is, as we think about the last 30 years, not just of camp, but of Lifelinks as a group of churches, I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you need to make the memories count. You need to make the memories count. And I think there's a passage in Scripture which is all about making the memories count. And it's in Joshua. And I want to read part of that to you. I'm not going to read you the story. I'm just going to read you from Joshua chapter 4. And it says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And then let's go on down to verse 20. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they'd taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you'd crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he'd done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we'd crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And so we have this amazing story where the people cross the Jordan. They experience another amazing miracle as they had done at the Red Sea. They're walking, they're moving across into the land of promise. They're going to take their inheritance, the inheritance that God has promised them. And so the priests carrying the ark, representing the presence of God amongst them, representing the power of God amongst them, they put their feet in the river. It's at full flood. The waters are at full flood, it says, and the waters part, and they move back so that once again the people can move through on dry land. If you read chapter 3, it's very interesting. It says that the waters are pushed back as far as the town of Adam. That's interesting, isn't it? As far as the town of Adam. And I sometimes think, you know, these things aren't put in scripture for no reason. And was it that God was reminding them that at the beginning, he always designed that he would have a relationship with humanity? And that here he was reminding God's people who they were. And that God was a God who restores. And God is a God who moves. And in our brokenness, to restore us and to redeem us and to bring us into right relationship with himself. And so they move across on dry ground. And when they're across, then the Lord instructs Joshua that he's to get these 12 men to go and pick up stones from the middle, from exactly where the priests were standing, and that they are to keep those stones and they are to set them up as a memorial of what the Lord had done. Why bother? Why take stones and do this? Well, the first thing is they were a sign. They were a sign of the power of God, and they were a sign of the faithfulness of God. They were also, secondly, to provoke a question. The stones were to be put there, and then somebody sometime was going to say, what's all this about? What are those stones for? Why do you have 12 stones erected? And it was so that in the future, when the children would say, what do these stones mean? God wanted them to pass on to a next generation what God had done for them, and to inspire them to live for God as well. And then they were to act as a continual reminder to the people of God, that they would remember what had happened. And I mean, personally, I would think that if you had walked through that Jordan River, if you had been, first of all, at the Red Sea, if you had been there at the Jordan River, like, you would think you would never forget. Like, we're remembering things about camp, and you're going, oh, I'd never forget this, and I'll never forget that. You'd think if you experienced something like this, you'd never forget it. But God knew that there would be moments when his people would forget. And he knew their hearts. And in fact, scripture, and Deuteronomy particularly, is full of instructions. Remember, remember, remember. And I mean, personally, I do find that in my own life. I come up against some fresh challenge. I come up against some fresh struggle. And immediately I go into the doubting God. I go into the unbelief. I go into the, where are you, God? I'm always encouraged by the Psalms when I read the Psalms, because he feels exactly the same way. But then what does the psalmist often say? I will remember. I will remember. And so memories are really important. That when you hit the hard times and you think, God, do you even see me? Do you even know that I'm here? I will remember. And God knew that that's how we're wired, and that memories are so important, that it would enable us to keep on as a continual remembrance of the faithfulness of God. They were instructed that when they were asked what the stones meant, that they would tell the story. They'd tell the story of what God had done. And it says at the end of this passage, the reason they were to tell the story was that the people of the earth would know about the power of God. That the world would know that Israel served a God of power, a God of the impossible that we worshipped this morning. And that his people, and that's the last phrase in this chapter, that his people would always fear the Lord. Fear the Lord your God, which is probably a concept that we don't talk about very often today, but it is so vital in terms of our daily living that we live in that place of the fear of the Lord. God knew that they were crossing the Jordan in order to take up their inheritance, to take the land. That's what they were going to do. This was not like, it wasn't God's party trick. You know, it wasn't just, oh, you know, let me show you what I can do. And you all get across the river and then you can have a party on the other side. It actually says they were armed for battle. They were armed for battle. This was God revealing to them again his power, his presence, and how he was making a way for them. But they were to move in and they were to take up their inheritance, the inheritance that God had for them. And they did have a fight on their hands. They had to fight the enemy in order to take hold of what God had for them. And so if that was the case, if the battle lay ahead of them, they needed to move into that battle with an absolute conviction of the power of God and the faithfulness of God, and to know that he was the God of the impossible. And also, they had to move in not only with that conviction, but they had to move in knowing that their enemy knew it as well. Because the surrounding nations heard what God did at the Jordan, and that Rahab talks about it. We heard about your God. We heard about what he did, and we trembled. So it's that the enemy needs to know that our God is powerful, that there's nothing that is impossible with him. We have a fight on our hands if we are going to take up our inheritance. You know, the devil just doesn't sit back and go, oh, I'm so glad these people are sort of moving into their calling God and they're using their gifts and they're ministering in the power of God. I'm so glad that they're able to do that. No, he will oppose you on every front in terms of taking up your inheritance. This young man, you got a book already and now you're going to get a word. I just felt when you came up to get Ian's book, you know, that the inheritance that God has for you, that God is saying that he knows that you have a fight on your hands in order to take hold of the portion and the inheritance that God has for you. But he says to you today, and I think that maybe you've been in a season where the fight has been heating up a little bit. And I feel like the Lord is promising you today that he has removed the protection from the giants that would oppose you. He's removed their protection. So you do not need to fear. You do have a fight in your hands because of what God has put in you and for the call of God in your life. And the enemy would seek to rob you of that. But God says, I've removed the protection from the giants. So you move in with a greater ferocity and a greater determination than even before. I think there isn't a determination in you to take hold of your call in God. But I feel like the Lord is saying, you ramp up that determination. Don't you back down. You face that giant. You face those giants because their protection has been taken away. And you will take the land that the Lord has for you. And so for all of us, we need to know that all that the Lord has for us, that we can take hold of it as we remember the faithfulness and the presence of God. You see, we all have stories to tell. Every single one of us in this room, if we know Jesus, have a story to tell about the faithfulness of God in our lives, about his power in our lives. It mightn't be as dramatic as parting the Red Sea. It might be as simple as getting a new pair of shoes and a bus fare to a conference. But it's still a red letter day. It's still a red letter day. And folks, we all have red letter days. We all have stories to tell. And the enemy would seek to rob you of your voice. He would seek to rob you of the stories that you have to tell of the faithfulness of God. And God says to you this morning, do not let the enemy rob you of your voice. Don't let the enemy take away your voice. This young lady with the cap on. You have a story to tell of the faithfulness of God. And I just feel like the enemy would really try to take away your voice. And God says, don't you be intimidated by anything that he brings. Sometimes, you know, when you would go to use your voice, it's almost like the devil says to you, who do you think you are? God says, I know who you are. I know who I've made you to be. You're a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your voice is sweet to his ear. Your voice is sweet to his ear. He loves your voice. But more than that, he loves the fact that you have a story to tell. And that story has power. And I just feel like, again, you must not back down from the intimidation of the enemy. God is putting a fresh sense of confidence in you. I just see your shoulders going back. I see you standing tall. And I really believe that the Lord is saying that that story that you have to tell is like a seed that you will plant in the lives of others that will produce a harvest of faith in their lives. I feel like what you have to say will actually be sowing seeds of faith in people's lives that will create a harvest of faith as you're not prepared to back down and as you tell your story. Don't let's allow the enemy to intimidate us from telling the stories, from marking the memories, from making the memories count. Because it's so important. Memories give us the courage to keep going when things are tough. They strengthen us. They do increase our faith. They can bring us to peace in a time of turmoil. They can help us even to understand things at a later date that we didn't understand when it was happening at the time. And they inspire others. Just as I've said to this young woman, they inspire others to take hold of God. They will inspire our children and the next generation to keep on seeking the Lord. As Brian encouraged us to do, let's not settle here, but let's cry out to God for the more that he has for us. It is so important that we mark the memories. We need those times in our lives when we mark them, where we take note of them, when we've experienced God's faithfulness, and we allow the wonder. I think we've lost the ability to wonder. Our world robs us of that ability. Let's take time to mark the memory so that we can wonder at how great our God is, at how amazing his faithfulness is. And that wonder, it is standing in awe of him. It is another way to describe the fear of the Lord in our lives. And without the fear of the Lord, we will live lives where we're living just according to our own way. We'll become careless about sin if we don't live in the fear of the Lord. We will lack wisdom. We will make foolish decisions. We will become self-centered. We'll put our trust in other things and we'll stop taking risks for God if we don't walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord arms us for the battle of everyday living. That's what it's about, walking with God, developing our relationship with him, and fulfilling his plans and purposes for us. But you know something, just as the enemy would seek to rob us of our voice in order to tell our story, I think he tries to intimidate us and say, don't mark the memory. It happened, it's okay, but don't mark it. Because, do you know something? We're so superstitious as Christians. Sometimes you go, oh, I know, God, you did this, but I'm not going to say anything. Because, like, if I say something, like, there'd be a real backlash from the enemy. I better not say anything, because he, you know. And Paul and I have had that experience this year. And a couple of years ago, I mean, I think he told you at camp last year, he's had atrial fibrillation for many, many, many years.
prayed for many, many, many times. And then a couple of years ago at a church in Scotland, a guy prayed for him. He knew something was different. And then since then, completely healed. No incident, nothing, complete healing. And it's just been so wonderful. And at the beginning of this year, we were on a ministry trip and there was a little incident, just a little incident. And the enemy said to us, I'm changing your story. He's not healed at all. I'm going to change your story. And there was something in us. Our heart just sank. And we thought, we better stop talking about this. Better stop talking about the healing. We can't talk about it anymore. Don't be afraid to mark the memories. It was just a little blip. He hasn't had anything since. We completely believe that we have experienced God's healing power. And we're not going to be robbed. The enemy is not going to be robbing us of that story. He's not going to be robbing us of marking the memory. Don't be afraid to mark the memory. Don't be afraid. There will not be a backlash. Rather than there being a backlash, the backlash will be against the enemy. There's a lady and you're sitting right in front of me. And I mean, I know everybody's got a lanyard, but I think you have a black and white top on. Yep, that's you. Don't be afraid of marking the memory. I just feel like as if as you mark what God has done, as you mark it, you know, again, this is about intimidation. And God says, don't be intimidated, because as you mark the memory, I think this is about the generations coming after you. I think it is about your children and your grandchildren. And it's so important that they hear what the Lord did for you. And that this will not be taken away from you. This will not be robbed from you. Nothing will take this away from you. God says, you know, that I moved, I worked. And he's also been, you know, giving you fresh promises as well. And so sometimes it can be that we're a little bit fearful to take hold of those promises. And God says, no, those promises are for me. You have heard aright. You take hold of the fresh promises for the future, but keep marking the memory of what has been, because that is going to have an impact on your children's lives and on your grandchildren's lives. And I hope you have children, and I hope that I haven't got that wrong, and that if you don't have grandchildren, that you will have. And so mark the memory. Don't back down. Mark the memory. And so it is so important that we make the memories count. We're not talking about nostalgia here. We're not talking about just simply looking back and having nice nostalgic times. We're talking about making memories count for something. Because if we don't make them count, all they'll be is museum pieces. And we do not want to have simply museum pieces in our lives. We want memorials. Because if we make them into museum pieces, we live in the past. We'll not expect God to do anything new in our lives today, as we've been encouraged this morning. And you know, it's really interesting. In Deuteronomy, God says to the people of Israel that if they don't keep remembering what God has done for them, pride begins to take over. And God said to them, you'll start to think, we made this happen. This was down to us. We did a good job. And God says, that's why it's important that you remember it was me who parted the Red Sea. It was me who parted the Jordan. It was me who gave you the land. It was my power. It was my faithfulness. And if you don't make the memories count, if you turn it into a museum piece, you'll lose the next generation. And oh, I hear the heartbeat of Lifelink, even as this section gets filled morning and evening by another generation. I mean, you've already crossed the river of being a one-generation church. You're not a one-generation church any longer, but there are yet more generations to be impacted. And I know that's in your heart. You could hear it in Dave last night, where he threatened even to come back and do bad stuff to you if you didn't keep on pressing in, taking more ground and taking those risks for God. Actually, on that point, when Dave was talking last night, I really felt as he was talking about Peter in the Bible, there was a Peter here in camp. So if there's a Peter in camp, but I also felt that, I mean, there might be several Peters. I felt this Peter, like the Peter Dave was talking about last night, was in a family business of some sort, and that God has a word for you. If you're a Peter in a family business, or if you know someone on site who's a Peter in a family business, send them to me. I'd love to pray for them. But I think it's so important that we keep marking the memories so that we will inspire the next generation. The next generation, they need to see living memorials. Dave was that living memorial last night. It wasn't just us talking about in the good old days, but that the things that we've experienced in God will still inspire us to live for Him, to take risks for Him today, and engage in the battle, not just for our own inheritance, but for my generation, and then some of the generations now coming behind us. Our job is to fight for the next generation to gain their inheritance. Do you know, that's the best fight you will ever fight. I remember years ago, Dave was in Ireland, and he was at a retreat that we had, and he prophesied over me, and he said, "Priscilla, go get a field. Go get a field." Well, I went and I got a field, and I've been able to inhabit my field. It's not entirely inhabited. I'm not finished yet, but I've had a chance to walk in my inheritance. And nothing inspires me more than standing alongside the Luke and Amandas of this world and many others across the globe, and stand beside them and say, "I'm going to fight until I see that you get your inheritance, that you walk in everything, not just partially, but you walk in everything that the Lord has for you." And that's true for whatever generation you're at. It's not just for us oldies. You all can fight for the next generation to walk in their inheritance. I love the passage in Scripture where Joshua tells the 2.5 tribes that have got their inheritance on this side of the Jordan. He says, "Okay, boys, you can't stay here. You've got to come over as well, because you're going to fight for these other guys to get their inheritance." That's the season in life I'm at, and it's an amazing season. Fight for the next inheritance. Be a living memorial for the next generation to claim their inheritance. And as a woman, guys, can I make a plea to you? Men in the church, for many years, have been able to walk in their inheritance. You've been the 2.5 tribes. You've been given your inheritance. We need you to cross over. And we need you to fight for us to get our inheritance, to get the fullness of our inheritance, not just a partial one. We need you to fight for us. We need men of God who will say, "I see the call of God in your life. Come on. Come, we're going to go across together. I'm going to fight for you." I'm so grateful for men in my life who fought that I would get my inheritance. So guys, my appeal is to you. You'd fight for us, that we would get our inheritance. And so let's make the memories count. We don't want to be a one-generational church. We want to make sure that the next generation move into all that God has for them. There were 12 stones representing the 12 tribes. They experienced God moving in their lives collectively. I think we need not only individual memorial stones, we need those collective stones. And can I just say about the next generation, parents? Let's set up some memorial stones in our families as well. The primary responsibility for teaching our children and our young people about the things of God, it's us. We can't pass that on to church. We can't pass that on to teachers. We can't pass that on to anybody else. The primary responsibility is us. So I would just challenge you, what are the memorial stones that you're setting up in your family to inspire your children to live for God? We can set up those memorial stones. But we've got these collective stones, and that's why this camp is so important, that we've already done it this morning. We will continue to do it. You'll get a chance to remember the collective memorial stones that will inspire another generation. Dave talked about it last night. Nova talked about it this morning. That time when the youth were so impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, Dave also mentioned another memorial stone, that out of that came a real heart for mission. That's another memorial stone. And you know something, even as I say that, I feel like not just that the Lord is saying he's got more of you, as Brian said, in terms of the Holy Spirit, but he has got more for you in terms of mission. Even as I say that, I feel like what you've experienced with regard to the nations, it's like you've only seen it with one eye. You've just seen it with one eye. God says in this season, you're going to see it with both eyes. It's a memorial stone, but God has got more for you in terms of the nations. I feel like, even as I say that, perhaps the Lord is saying there will be areas of the world where life links have not had an impact, and certain new areas are going to open up to you. Even that memorial stone will inspire you to reach out for more, to reach out for more of what the Lord has. And so I would encourage you to think about what those memorial stones would be. To share together, to say this is our collective memorial stones, and they're not going to be museum pieces. We are going to use them. We are going to use them to inspire another generation to go for God, to take risks for God, to take new territory for God. They're not going to be museum pieces. We refuse to be the people who say, oh, back in the good old days. There were many good old days, but there are amazing days yet to be had in God. And it's because we will mark the memories that we will have the faith and the strength to step into the future. So let's make the memories count. Let's make the memories count. Could the worship band come up and join me? I just felt that song you sang this morning about, was it Faithful to the End? Kind of encapsulated what we were talking about today. I don't often ask worship teams to sing particular songs, but I just felt that it held something of what we were talking about. And in a moment, we're going to stand and sing, but can I just encourage you? Maybe the Holy Spirit is stirring up some memories today. Let him stir them up so that they would inspire you again. You see, more and more, the next generation need to see the Dave and Linda Wells of this world, who still have a fire in their belly, who still say, God, in this season of our lives, we are going to forcefully take hold of everything that you have for us. We need to be those living memorials. If the Lord, let him stir up the memories again to inspire you and to make that commitment. I'm going to be a living memorial. I am not going to be a museum piece. I'm not going to be that. Because some in the room have resigned themselves. My best days are behind me. That is not true. It will look very different, but your best days are not behind you. So press in. For some, you need to allow the Lord to inspire you again so that you will be those who influence the next generation. For parents, a fresh desire to create the right memory for your family. You know, Dave's going to baptize some people this week. Many of you might spend some time in a river or a lake. There's loads of stones around camp. Can I encourage you? Somewhere this week, take a physical stone from somewhere. A river, a lake, or just on the sidewalk. Take a stone and take it home with you. And put it somewhere where you'll see it. Just as a reminder that you do have memorials that you're going to set up that will keep you walking in the fear of the Lord, that will enable you to answer questions when people throw them at you, and that will be a sign of the faithfulness of God. You know, we want to inspire the next generation, but the ark represented the power and presence of God. We do not want to move into the future without that power and presence. You know, what did they say? We're not going to go with you unless your presence goes with us. We want the power and presence of God to go with us. We have stories of that happening, and so we want to move on with his power and presence in our lives. So somewhere this week, take a stone, take it home with you, set it up as a memorial, but let the Holy Spirit come this morning and stir your heart and just make that fresh commitment. Lord, I'm going to make the memories count. I'm going to make the memories count. We're going to sing this song in a moment, but I was remembering an older song, a Graham Kendrick song. And it says, Lord, you've been good to me all my life. All my life. I will remember. I will remember all you have done. I will remember all you have done. Sing from my heart thanksgiving songs. That's an old song that actually encapsulates what we're about to sing. We sang that song, Lord, you've been good to me all my life. We sang it at my little grandson's funeral. And we sang it at one of the girls' weddings. You see, the faithfulness of God isn't limited to the good times, folks. We need to mark the memories of the valleys of the shadow of death, where he was with us. And he never left us. And that's what we're saying. We need to mark the memories, folks, of the hard times as well as the good times. Because, Lord, you've been good to me all my life. Your loving kindness never fails. Why don't we stand together and declare it? And in the declaring of it, talk to the Lord and tell him you're going to make the memories count.